Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Turn your Bibles to our foundation scripture for the series that we are busy with, which is Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I believe today I'll be preaching on quiet time for the last time, God willing. Next week we will start a new subject. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Are you there? The Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Amen. You know, sometimes when you read King James, it sounds like Chinese. But when he says, "I consent unto the law that it is good," what he means there is that I agree with Scripture. I agree that Scripture is good. And I agree that the things that are in Scripture are good for me. Someone say they are good for me. But be that as it may, he says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." So to do the good things, I have that desire, but how to perform it? How to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the word of God. Amen. There are things that he wants to do, but he struggles to do. Do you understand? Amen. When he reads the Bible, he will see things in the Bible that the Bible advises him to do. But to do them, he struggles. The whole Paul, Apostle Paul, the one who wrote more than half of the New Testament. Are you listening to me? Paul would talk like this. Hey, how much more you and I? Are you listening to me? If you're a true Christian, you've taken down my volume. If you are a true Christian and you don't lie to yourself, you will know that there are certain things that you are struggling with, true or not true. Yeah. I'll just give an obvious one that most people struggle with. Music. Someone say music. Yeah. Pastor, is it wrong for me to listen to, what's the latest guy now or girl? Huh? Makati. There's someone called Makati. All right. Do you know Makati? Is it a he or she? Is she a gospel artist? No. What is she singing? Her own genre altogether. So she's not singing kwaito, it's just she came up with her own thing. All right. It's just that I don't know Makati. What song does she sing? Huh? Ganamba. Okay. Now, Pastor, is it wrong for me to listen to Ganamba? Am I saying it right? Huh? Ganama. Is it wrong for me to listen to Ganama? Hey! As a Christian, well, I only have one question for you. When you listen to Ganama, do you feel closer to God? No, answer me. Do you understand? So, but I'm sure when you listen to Ganama, it's nice. I know you won't say amen. You people. I'm sure it's very nice. If it wasn't nice, you wouldn't even have the desire to listen to it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make you feel closer to God. And then at the end of the day, your relationship with God is not improved. And if you are not careful, before you know it, you are far from God. So something that seems so harmless, with the process of time, you realize that it's actually harming me. Do you understand? I know, because I've had to make this decision before in my life. Because in those days, I used to also listen to worldly music. And I had to make the decision to change what I listened to. And it was not easy. It was hard. So Paul is explaining here that there are certain things that we know that are not good, but we find ourselves doing them with ease. But there are things that we know that are good, but you realize that we struggle to do them. And I'm sure everybody here knows how important prayer is, true or not true. But have you realized how difficult it is to pray sometimes? Yeah. Even to read your Bible. I mean, the way that I can explain the Bible, the importance of a Bible. Can a fish survive out of water? You see, what water is to the fish, that is what the Bible is to us. But as true as that is, have you realized sometimes it's difficult to sit down and read? Just sit down and read. It's tough. I mean, sometimes the Bible can even be like a sleeping pill. If you are struggling to sleep, just open the Bible. Before you know it, lights out. You are gone. You wake up in the morning. Amen.
Amen.
So the series that I'm teaching you is to encourage you to do some fundamental things that are very important for our walk with God. Things like praying every day. Things like reading your Bible every day. When you start doing these activities, they empower you. They give you the strength to be able to do the things that you know are good to do. And they give you the strength to stop doing the things that you know are bad for you. I don't care who you are. The only way is through the word of God. The only way is through prayer. That's what God gave us. So for us to live a holy life, we have to adopt the habit of quiet time. That is the Bible says, how shall a young man keep his way pure? How shall a young man keep his way pure? The Bible says, by taking heed unto the word of God. In other words, in this very evil and perverse times that we are living in, the only way that you can be holy, the only way that you can remain pure, is if you take heed, go into the Word of God and read it. Only two people are saying amen. I tell you. So this is why I'm taking my time encouraging us to develop this wonderful habit called a quiet time. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for your pastor. I think he's doing well. So today, for a very short time, I want to teach on how to interpret the Bible, how to interpret the Bible. Which is very important for your quiet time, isn't it? Yeah. How to interpret. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Is it interpret? Am I saying it correctly? All right. How to interpret the Bible. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. Are you in 2 Peter chapter 1? The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the scriptures are not for any private interpretation. So in other words, you cannot just interpret the scripture any way that you want. Are you listening to me? Amen. So there is a way to interpret scriptures, because at the end of the day, if we call ourselves the church, the body of Christ, we must all more or less believe the same things. Do you understand? We must all believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can't interpret that in any other different way. He's the Son of God. Do you understand? We must all believe that he died and rose again on the third day. It can't have any other interpretation. He died and rose again on the third day. He is alive. He is in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is coming back. He is coming back to take us through the rapture. And then afterwards, he is coming back to reign for 1,000 years. Amen. There can't be three interpretations of that thing. There can't be 10. It's just one. Do you understand? Amen. So it is important that we learn how to interpret the Bible so that when we read the Bible, we do not make mistakes. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
All right, number one. I'm going to give you about 8 or 9 points. Number one. So now, think about yourself doing your quiet time and reading your Bible, okay? And now you are trying to interpret the Bible for yourself. So number one, you must read the context. Sorry, you must read the Bible in context. You must read the Bible in its context. I'll explain what that means. You must read the Bible in its context. Say, neighbor, you must read the Bible in context. Yeah. Quickly turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms 41, verse 1. Psalms 41. Sorry, 14, not 41. 14. 1, 4, 14. Psalms 14, verse 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 1. Are you happy about what I'm teaching you? All right. Are you there? The Bible says, the fool said, or the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The fool had said what? There is no God. So someone who doesn't read the Bible in context can forget that part that says the fool and only take the part that says there is no God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. So you can't just pick what you want to pick. You must read in context. Because when you read it in context, then you'll understand that it says only a fool will say that there is no God. Ask your neighbor, say, are you a fool? What are they saying? No, because you believe that there is a God. So the one who says there's no God is a fool. Is a fool. I don't care if he has a master's degree. If he says there is no God, it's a fool. You are listening to a fool. Amen. A proper fool. Fool. Amen. Foolish man. Foolish woman. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So never take the scriptures out of context. Context is very important. Are you listening to me? Let me show you another example. Go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25. Who has the Good News Bible? Is there anyone who has the Good News Bible here today? Do you mind reading for me? Or borrow me your Bible, I will read. Are you going to read for me or are you going to borrow? You borrow. Jeremiah. Hey, I haven't flipped the Bible in a long time. Chapter 25 and verse 27. Are you there? Are you sure you are there? Amen. You know, one day, why are you laughing? I haven't even started reading. My man is laughing. One day we were doing outreach, you see. And back then I used to attend church in Sunnyside, so we were doing outreach in the flats there in Sunnyside. And we met a group of guys. And these guys quoted the scripture for me. I never knew that it existed. You know? So this is what they said to me. Verse 27. Then the Lord said to me, who is saying? The Lord. Tell the people that I, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, am commanding them to do what? To drink. To drink until they are drunk. And vomit. until they fall down and cannot get up. Oh, the guy quoted the scripture. He said, the Bible said I must drink. The Bible said I must drink. Not only drink, but get drunk until I vomit what I was drinking. And I kept quiet those days because I had never seen the scripture before. And they said, Jeremiah 25 verse 27. Drink and get drunk and vomit and fall down till you can't get up no more. I said, what? See, that, here's the problem by reading out of context. Now let's just read some few scriptures above. Let's read verse 15. Are you there? The Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, here is a wine cup filled with what? Filled with what? My wrath, my anger, my fury. So, first and foremost, God is not talking about alcohol. He's talking about his anger. He's talking about his wrath and fury. Take it to all the nations to whom I send you and make them drink from it. When they drink from it, they will stagger and go out of their minds because of the war I am sending against them. So when God was talking about them drinking, he was talking about God is going to punish them with war. God was about to kill many people. He was not talking about alcohol at all. Far from what he was talking about. But someone who takes it out of context will say, ah, God said I must drink. Thank you. Amen. I don't want to hear anything else. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, do you see the importance of reading in context? That's why what I call a Bible roulette is very bad. Do you know what that is? When you take the Bible and just any mind more, and then you just start reading. When you do that, you stand the danger of reading out of context. And you can really interpret the Bible horribly wrong. That's why I always advise you, start from the book of Matthew and read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and read the whole chapter. Then chapter 2, read. Chapter 3, and continue all the way till you get to Revelation. I don't advise you to read Matthew today. Tomorrow you're reading Genesis. On Monday you are reading what? Numbers. On Friday you are reading what? Yeah? Kings, the books of Kings. Then the next day you are reading Revelation. You are not getting the context of everything. One day somebody was arguing with Mamuruti about when the rapture will be. Because there's three beliefs. There are those who believe that the rapture will happen before the 7 years. Remember I taught you about the 7 years. There are some who believe that the rapture will happen in the middle of the 7 years. And there are some who believe that the rapture will take place at the end of the 7 years. So someone was arguing with Mamruti because that person believed that it will happen in the middle. So I was telling Mamruti that, you see, if you only read Revelations alone, you'll be lost. You must put the whole thing in context based on where this thing comes from. Then you will understand what God is talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, neighbor, read in context. Amen. Number two, do not over-spiritualize the Bible. I'm helping you to interpret the Bible correctly. Do not over-spiritualize the Bible. Are you there? Recently, Somebody was talking to my dear wife and was trying to teach my wife the Bible. Hey! The person said many things, but the person said something very interesting. The person said that we black people, do you understand? We are the real Jews. We are the real Jews. It sounds very nice, doesn't it? I mean, I'm a black person and I'm a Jew. I'm the real Jew. Because some people believe that Adam was black and all sorts of things. Some people even believe that Jesus was black. You see, don't try to over-spiritualize the Bible. I'll show you just one scripture. Come with me to the book of John chapter 4. From verse 23. Quickly, I don't want to preach for too long. John chapter 4. From verse 23. Are you there? Okay, look, let's read from verse 21. John 4, from verse 21. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For what? Salvation is of what? The Jews. Salvation is of the what? The Jews. So that theory of the fact that Jesus, black people are the real Jews, all of a sudden becomes a problem. Because when salvation was coming to the world, we black people were busy worshiping ancestors. We were busy worshiping animals. We were busy worshiping all sorts of things. So already you have misinterpreted scripture so bad that it's troubling. Do you understand? So when you read the Bible, do not over-spiritualize it. It is what it is. Tell your neighbor, say, it is what it is. Don't try to be more spiritual than God himself. God is the one who chose Abraham. And Abraham had a son called Isaac. And Isaac had a son called Jacob. And then God changed Jacob's name and called him Israel. And Jacob or Israel had 12 sons. And from those 12 sons came the Jewish nation or the Israelites. Till today, the Israelites are there. If you go to the Middle East, you will find a country called Israel. And you will find Jews living there till today. They are there till today. 9 million of them, they live there. They are not black. They are Jews. They are there. They don't speak Zulu. They don't speak Xhosa. They don't speak what? Tonga. They speak Hebrew. They are there. You can take a plane and go find them. I listen to me. Tell a neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be too spiritual. Am I talking to somebody? Number three, believe what you read. Believe what you read. Exodus chapter 14 from verse 21. I'm teaching you how to interpret the Bible. So believe what you read. Exodus chapter 14 from verse 21. Exodus. Chapter 14 from verse 21. Are we there? The Bible says, And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. Hallelujah. So this is the time that Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Remember the story. They were being chased by the Egyptian army. On their right were mountains, on their left were mountains. In front of them was an ocean. And Moses started crying and praying to God, and God said, "Why are you crying? Stretch out your hand towards the sea." And he stretched out his hand, and the Bible tells us that the waters were divided. And the people walked on dry ground. And this scripture is saying the waters became a wall on the right and the left. Believe it. It is what it is. Don't try to interpret it in any other way. It happened just like that. It doesn't sound logical, does it? Go try to point at waters when you go home and see if anything happens. But it happened. And we believe that it happened. Amen. Scriptures are real. You know, a couple of months ago, the Palestine was fighting against Israel. Are you listening to me? It was on the news. If memory serves me right, they fought for 11 days. And when they were fighting like this, it provoked me to research a little bit. Because I was trying to understand, why are these people fighting? They've been fighting for many, many, many years. Palestine is saying that that land that is called Israel belongs to them. And Israel is saying that that land belongs to us. And so, in that area, that land, there's a capital city. Like South Africa's capital city is what? Pretoria. Well, we have two for some reason. Pretoria and Cape Town. Do you understand? Now, the capital city of Israel is Jerusalem. But the interesting thing is that Jerusalem is divided into two. One half of Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians. The other half, it belongs to the Israelites. Can you believe it? In one country, they've divided the capital city. Why? Why? The main problem is a place where the Jews believe that the temple that Solomon built is here. And the Palestinians also have their beliefs based on their Bible. I forgot what they call their Bible. They are Muslims. The Quran. They say that their prophet, Muhammad, had some spiritual experience over there. I don't know what experience he had. So they are both fighting. I listen to me. Now, hallelujah. Please stop tripping the children, please. What was I saying? Muhammad. Yeah, so they are both fighting there. Now, if you read your Bible, you remember that Solomon built a temple for God. In fact, it was David who wanted to build it. And God said to David, "Your hands have too much blood." And God said to David that your son is the one who will build the temple for me. Although God was speaking prophetically, but I don't want to get into that now. So Solomon built the temple. Till today, that temple is there. If you go there, in Israel, they have something that they call the Weeping Wall. They believe, remember, in Easter, I taught you about the tabernacle of the congregation. Remember, I taught you that there's the holy place. Remember, I taught you that there's the Holy of Holies. Now they believe that that wall was part of the wall of the Holy of Holies. So what I'm trying to tell you that these things are real, they are true. You can, when you go to Jerusalem or to Israel, they will show you the tomb of Jesus. This is where Jesus was buried. They'll take you to the river Jordan. This is the river Jordan that you see in the Bible. They are real, these things. They happened. So we don't need to over-spiritualize them and try to interpret them. We must believe what is in the Bible. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, I believe. Yeah. Number four. Find out the meaning of Hebrew and Greek words. Find out the meaning of Hebrew and Greek words in the Bible. Remember, I told you that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. Amen. Because if this thing about black Jews is true, the Bible would have been written in Zulu or Xhosa or Shona. But it was written in Hebrew. Now, sometimes for us to understand, you know, like at Mama Surprise's funeral, before I went to preach, my aunt and my uncle had visited, and they said to me, "My son, please, I beg you, if you can just do one thing for us." And I said, "What is that one thing?" They said, "When you go there, please preach in your language. Please, I beg you." And I said, "Okay, I'll try." But as I was just thinking about the words I'm going to use, I was already being dribbled in my mind. Then I said, "Let me rather be me." Because I wanted to teach about how man has a body, has a soul, and is a spirit. When I went to the Zulu translation, it says that a man is unomzimba, has a body, unomoya, has a soul, unomoya, has a spirit. I said, no, it's not explaining it the way I want it to be. How can one word mean the same thing? How do I explain it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes for you to really understand scripture, you have to go to the original language for you to have deeper understanding. I'll give you an example. When you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you go and search the Hebrew words of everything I just said, you'll find that it says Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So in Hebrew, God is Elohim. Now, when you bring back Elohim into English, it is not actually God, but it is gods. Plural. In other words, there's more than one God. But if you only read it in English only, you would have never known that there's more than one God. Gods. Elohim means gods. More than one. You will only know if you go deeper. Now, Pastor, if there's more than one, how many are they? In the book of 1 John chapter 5. Is there a chapter 5? I don't want to... I don't want to quote things that are not there. Yeah, chapter 5. and verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So all of a sudden you understand, when the Bible talks about Elohim, it's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you only know these things when you start going deeper than English. It's like the first people who wrote the Bible, what did they mean? Then when you research, you'll find out deeper things. For example, in English, the Bible always says the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. But when you go to Hebrew, the Bible, the word for Lord in Hebrew is Jehovah. So in Hebrew, it always says Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. All of a sudden, you are learning names of God that you didn't know before. If you only read English, you only know Lord God, Lord God. Nobody's saying amen. I'm preaching to myself.
Amen.
So sometimes you must just go a little bit deeper than the average Christian. When I was a student, the first purchase I made was a study Bible. I bought it for 1,000 rand in those days. Till today, I'm reading the same study Bible that I bought more than 10 years ago. I'm still reading it. Because it gives me the Hebrew words, it gives me the Greek words. It's wonderful. Pastor, I don't have a study Bible. I can't afford 1,000 rand. Okay. In today's time, we have something called technology. We have phones. And phones have apps. Does your phone have apps? Yeah. Unless your phone is one of those that still go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But most people have phones with apps. My phone has this other app. I'll share it with you today. It's called My Sword Bible. It's an app. It's called My Sword Bible. Okay? I don't know if you can see it. You won't be able to see it from there. Now, Paul, come, grab a mic quickly. Quickly, sir. Sandile, come, grab a mic quickly. We come with your Bible. I want to show you something quickly.
Sure.
All right. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And read what it says. Just verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's it. It's finished. If I had to read Sandile's Bible, I'll be very bored. Now, just read what's here.
In the beginning, H7. In the beginning, H725.
Don't hold the mic like a rapper. Hold it like a pastor.
In the beginning, H7225. God, H430. Created H124254 H853 the heaven.
Are you getting the point? This one already has some extra things, some H's and numbers. Now press one of those H's. What happened? Tell them.
It brings up, I don't know what this is.
So this is Hebrew. Okay, let me help you so that this is what I was saying. In the beginning, God. Sure. In the beginning, God, okay? Here's the translation for God. What's written there?
Elohim.
Elohim. So, this thing, I downloaded it for free. I didn't pay 1 cent for free, just from the Play Store. So it's already showing him there, because these numbers that he was reading are things that you can touch. When you touch, something else pop out. And next to the word God, there's a number. When you touch that number, it pops out. And the translation in Hebrew is Elohim. And it explains what is Elohim. Elohim means rulers, judges. It means divine ones. It means gods. Hey, listen to me. Amen. For free. You don't have to go and... If you have a phone that is a smartphone, you can get it for free. And all of a sudden, when you read the Bible, it's suddenly juicier. It's suddenly nicer. Hey, listen to me. Put your hands together for these brothers. So make sure that you equip yourself with resources that allow you to research the Hebrew and the Greek texts of the Bible so that you can have deeper understanding of the Bible. Are you listening to me, somebody? It's important. Otherwise, your relationship with God will be very limited. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Did you guys switch off your mics here? Okay. What number are we on? Number 5. Understand the background of what you are reading. Understand, make sure that you understand the background of what you are reading. Somebody say background. Yeah. It's very important, okay? Don't read the Bible in isolation. The Bible is one story, okay? The Bible has 66 books. All these 66 books are one story. They are all explaining each other. It's part of one story. So when you are reading, make sure, that's why I advise you, read from Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John, you know, then the book of Acts, I believe. And then from there, it is what? Romans, and so on and so forth. Don't read. Don't be jumping. Pastor, but if I only read Matthew, Mark, when am I going to know Genesis? No, calm down. You will get there. Tell him, never say, calm down. You will get there. Just read it step by step so that you know the story. One brother had been coming to our church for a long time. And for the first time, after a long time, he actually started reading the Bible. He had been coming to church for years. But for the first time, he started reading the Bible. And he started asking me questions. He said, Pastor, I was reading. And I didn't know that Jesus' mother was Mary. You know, those types of questions. You won't know until you read. If you just read there and there and there and there, you'll be confused. So read it, like I always tell people, read it like a storybook so that you'll understand the picture behind the picture, the background. Then it will make more sense to you. Mahlatsi, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
So make sure that you know the background of what is going on. Number 6, interpret scriptures with scriptures. Interpret scriptures with scriptures. Interpret scriptures with scriptures. Amen. I just showed you here an example. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I told you that that word God there is Elohim, and it means gods. It means more than one. Are you listening to me? Now, why can I say that with confidence? Because another scripture tells me that there's three of them. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So, scriptures must back each other up. When you're reading the Bible, don't interpret by what you read in people's statuses. Don't interpret by what you read on Facebook and Instagram and what else? Huh? Twitter, TikTok. But interpret scriptures with other scriptures. They talk to each other. They explain each other. Normally when I read the Bible and I see something that I don't understand, I never make a conclusion on that. I'll just keep reading. Sometimes a week later, sometimes a month later, sometimes even years later, I will find a scripture that explains what I didn't understand. Never interpret it with your own mind. Never interpret it with how you view things of this world. One day, a certain man of God was in a certain church. And in that church, you know, they were following that scripture that says, a bishop shall be the husband of how many wives? Hello? One wife. So that man of God didn't like that scripture. He said, I'm a black man. And so I want to have more than one wife. These white people don't understand how we black people operate. So he left that church and went and started with his own church where they put something here. He went and started his own church. The first one, the founder of this particular church. You know what I'm talking about? So he went and started a church where a pastor can marry more than one wife. Totally contradicting scripture. But the way he interpreted it is that I'm a black man. And these white people who came with the Bible, they don't understand how we black people do things. Hey! Some of you even sitting here, my fellow Christians, there are things that you do because of culture and tradition. In our culture, this is what we do, Pastor. Okay, but what does the Bible say? Hallelujah. So let the scriptures interpret themselves. Amen. Tell a neighbor, say neighbor. Let the scripture interpret themselves. Number 5, 6, 7, wherever we are. 7. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you His word. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you His word. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. The best of the best. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Are you there? The Bible says, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So whenever you read the Bible, always ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Ask him to help you to understand. Why? He will lead you into all truth. You will never interpret it wrong if you are following the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. But even if you are following the Holy Spirit, these principles that I taught you are very important. Because many people hear voices that are not the Holy Spirit and they say it's the Holy Spirit. In one particular church, one of their prophets went to a mountain and spent many days in the mountain. When he came back from the mountain, he came back with a book. And he told his church, this is another testament. In other words, there's the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, and then there is the other testament that he came back with that we don't know where he got it from. So their church has two Bibles. Hey! So it's not every voice that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Bible. It will never happen. If you hear a voice that is contradicting the Bible, one lady said that God told him to marry an unbeliever. Ah! A what? An unbeliever. My Bible says, you shall not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, in black and white. But you, the voice you are hearing is saying that you must marry an unbeliever. I can tell you, it's not the voice of God. I don't need to be a prophet to tell you. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth, but always make sure it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never contradict what is already written in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
And the last one for today. You must always read more than one version of the Bible. Always read more than one version of the Bible. There are so many versions of the Bible. So make sure that you have, when you read the Bible, make sure that you have more than one version. Back in the day, before smartphones used to be there, I used to have about 2, 3, 4 Bibles. When I read the Bible, I'll have them open like this. And personally, I just like King James. To me, King James is like poetry. I enjoy the these and the thous. I love it. But even though I enjoy it, every now and then it dribbles me. So when the these and the thous begin to dribble me, I look at the New Living Translation. I look at the NIV. I look at the Good News. I look at the Message Bible. I look at the Amplified. By the time I'm finished reading all these versions, then I'll have a clearer picture of what the King James was saying. Then I can continue reading. I listen to me. If you only have one Bible or one version, you are not serious about your walk with God. Say, neighbor, how many Bibles do you have? Demand an answer. Say, neighbor, if you only have one Bible, you are not serious about your God. Pastor, but me, I don't work. Hey, we live in an age of technology where we have something called apps. Everybody, show me your phone. I want to see your phone. If you have a phone, show me your phone. Quickly, I'm waiting for you. Show me your phone. For those of us who have a phone, most of the people have smartphones. I'm seeing smartphones. Nobody has a tululu. Most have smartphones. And smartphones have apps. And there are people who have taken their time to make sure that you can get the apps in the Play Store or whatever your phone uses. And listen to me. I have another app here that is called the Holy Bible. And this app, I've got more than 67 translations of the Bible in English. Are you listening to me? So when there's something dribbling me, I just go to my app and I check all the different versions until what I'm reading makes sense to me. And how much is this app? Mahala, free on ETV. Hallelujah. Somebody say free. So nobody has any excuse. God has made sure that we all can have the resources, no matter how minimum they are, but you have resources to be able to learn your Bible, understand it and know it, so that nobody can confuse you. Nobody can dribble you. If you end up being dribbled, then you would have wanted to be dribbled. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Yeah. Put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise, somebody. How many points did I give you? What was number one? Read your Bible in context, okay? The Bible says, a fool shall say in his heart, there is no God. So somebody can remove the fool's head and only read, there is no God, out of context. Drink and get drunk. Hey! If you read it out of context, you'll find yourself in all sorts of problems. Number two. Do not over-spiritualize the Bible. Hallelujah. Read it as it is. Take it as it is. Don't try to be over-spiritual. Number three, believe in what you read. The Bible tells us about the Antichrist. The Bible tells us about the wrath of God. The Bible tells us that stones will be falling from heaven. The Bible tells us that God is going to kill 1/3 of humanity in the world. It's going to happen. It's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. And you must believe. If you believe, you change the way you live to make sure that you are in right standing with God. Number four. What's number four? Amen. I've shown you, if you don't have money, just download from the App Store. You can get Hebrew and Greek translations there. Number five, what does it say? Understand the background. Hallelujah. Yeah, so make sure, read the Bible like a storybook so that, you know, you don't misinterpret. Amen. Interpret scriptures by scriptures. So if there's something you don't understand in the Bible, come down. Just keep reading. You will find a scripture that explains the scripture you didn't understand. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God. How do you ask the Holy Spirit? Just pray. Holy Ghost, as I'm about to read the Bible, please teach me. Please show me what I didn't know. And the Holy Ghost will teach you. Hallelujah. One day I asked the Holy Ghost a question. I said, Lord, what is a soul? If somebody were to ask you what a soul is, what would you say? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. From there I understood what is a soul. The Holy Spirit said to me, a soul is awareness. I said, awareness. What do you mean? Then I understood that out of all God's creation, we human beings are the only ones who are aware that we are alive. We are the only ones who are aware that God exists. So God gave us a soul. This is the Holy Spirit talking to me. God gave us a soul so that we can be aware of Him and appreciate Him and appreciate the things that He has done. I said, wow, I never saw it like that. So you can ask the Holy Ghost and He will answer you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Number 8. What's number 8? Read more than one version. All right? Anyone who only has one Bible is not a serious Christian. Is a joker. Is a joker. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a joker, my friend. You're a joker. You must have more than one version of the Bible. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. I hope after this series on quiet time, you will dive deeper into the Word of God. There's so many more things I could teach you, but time will fail us. Hallelujah. Do you know what is the canon of Scripture? Canon. Someone say canon. You see? There's too much to teach you. So I need you to do what I've instructed you to do. Have your quiet time. Dedicate time to God. Read. Learn. Study. Pray. So that you can have a deeper and closer relationship. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.